Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
For decades, credit cards have been telling us buy it now and pay for it later with interest. Despite your best intentions, that interest can get out of control fast. With Lending Club, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to a bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to LendingClub.com, tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/today. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/today. LendingClub.com/today. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Glad you're with us. A lot happening. We are in Vegas today. Many thanks to our affiliate out here. They're so accommodating every time we come to town. It's the all-new 101.5 FM and 720 AM KDON Radio. And I got to tell you, the only FM news talk station in Vegas, and their AM signal hits 40 states a night. It's unbelievable, the power of this blowtorch. We have so much breaking and happening. This just coming across the wires as we're coming on the air. It appears now that the Kavanaugh accuser, Professor Ford, is changing her mind again, now apparently wanting to testify. And anyway, it's an apparent bid to jumpstart negotiations. And, you know, this has been out there for a long time. And we learned last night a lot from Senator Grassley's letter to Dianne Feinstein. We'll go over some of that in the course of the program, and letters to other members on the committee, and the letter that Senator Grassley sent to a very liberal activist attorney that's representing Professor Ford, which is a separate matter, but we'll get to that also. But anyway, so they want to jumpstart negotiations, whatever that means. It was a non-starter that the FBI was going to get involved in this. The FBI had said this is beyond our purview, and Senator Grassley expressed the same thing. The role constitutionally when it comes to Supreme Court nominees, it's advice and consent of the Senate, not of the FBI. But the FBI has handed out of courtesy supplemental materials and information that they have on anybody that is up for such an important position. Apparently, they would be prepared to testify next week so long as senators offer, quote, terms that are fair and which ensure her safety, according to an email just released by her lawyers to the committee staff members. Now, I will say this about the Republicans, and they often get a lot of things wrong. Senator Grassley has absolutely been doing the right thing. He's taking a serious allegation seriously. He is trying to accommodate in every way imaginable to help and assist and create a comfortable environment for Professor Ford to give her testimony to members of the committee. Anyway, New York Times first got this email from Professor Ford's lawyer saying that testifying Monday, the timetables Republicans have set for the hearing is not possible, and the committee's insistence that it occur then is an arbitrary in any event. The lawyer reiterated that Professor Ford's strong preference that a full investigation occur before her testimony, warning stopping short of demanding the FBI probe, and suggested she is open to testifying without one. And Professor Ford, as we know, accused Judge Kavanaugh this last minute. Now, the problem is the Democrats have known about this forever, from July. Democratic, you know, you have a right to be skeptical. Number one, we should all be skeptical in this sense. Now, does she have a right to be heard? Yes. It's a serious allegation. Does she have a right to present her point of view? Absolutely. Will it be done with the utmost care? Yeah, I believe that senators will ask all the right questions. Judge Kavanaugh has vehemently denied that any of this occurred 36 years ago. There was only one witness. That witness, Mr. Ford, said, what was his name? I forgot his name. The one witness that was there, Mark Judge, he said that it didn't happen. Now, he had a drinking problem, I guess, back in high school. People are questioning whether or not he was sober enough at the moment to make that determination. But that's up to people. I'm not going to get involved in that. But I will tell you, we're sitting in a very precarious time and moment in this country. And we see it all over the place. It's not just in the Kavanaugh hearings, although this is the issue of the moment. And we have to decide, because we have elected officials, we have political pundits, we have so-called Hollywood stars that have no desire at all to uphold the most fundamental principles that we as a society should and have always believed in. Now, we have seen this in other cases before. We have seen it for, you know, all the people in the Obama years that got shot in Chicago, those murdered in Chicago. I think my show was the only one that ever took the time to mention and scroll all the names and ages of all the people that had been shot that nobody had ever heard of. And the point at the time that I was making, if it's a high-profile case that can be politicized, like what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and the Michael Brown case, and in the end, what happened? It was the officer Darren Wilson was exonerated because of eyewitnesses in the community that told the truth. But you had everybody, including then President Obama himself, rushing to judgment. The same thing happened down in Florida with George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. The president weighing in again on that case, just like he weighed in on the Harvard professor case. The police acted stupidly, rushing to judgment. No presumption of innocence. Not wanting to even hear somebody else's point of view. We saw that in Baltimore, Maryland, with Freddie Gray. It's the same thing. It's a different topic. But you have people now all over the place in this country, Democrats in this case. Sadly, it's obvious they're putting politics first, and that means above the rule of law, the Constitution, and the presumption of innocence. And they're rushing to judgment for political reasons. You know, literally convicting Judge Kavanaugh of one of the most serious crimes that anyone could ever imply about another person, and even saying and suggesting that he doesn't even have a right to be heard or believed. Zero presumption of innocence. Every person that is out there that says, we believe her. Well, that means you don't believe him. And a lot of Democrats are now on record. We believe her. Well, none of them were there. We have not heard him. He has adamantly denied it. Nor have we heard her, and there are a lot of questions, legitimate questions that should be asked regarding, you know, the what, the when, the where kind of questions, and who she might have told, etc. And so now Senate Republicans are attempting to investigate these serious allegations. They've been stonewalled up until just a few moments ago when this new letter came out. Look, there's an effort here, and it's, I warned you when this first happened, when Neil Gorsuch got on the court, what was said about Robert Bork was nothing but character assassination, lies, smears, and slander, and besmirchment. And the same happened in the last hour with Clarence Thomas. All of this happened. Now, we also see, by the way, and I'll get to this, you know, Democrats want to precipitate a constitutional crisis. The president ordered the declassification and release of unredacted materials. It's his constitutional authority. It's simple. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. The president has unfettered authority over all executive branch matters. And the power lies in the presidency. They don't have a right to say no to the president of the United States. If they want to be president, go campaign for 2 years and try and win. Then you get to make the decisions. So, you know, now it's day 8 of this controversy, and involving this woman. She's a professor from Northern California, Professor Christine Ford, and the accusation she's made against Judge Kavanaugh, pending back to, 1982, some 36 years ago. And I don't shy away from saying again that these allegations must be taken seriously. But I will say that Senate Republicans that often do things wrong have done everything they can right. They've delayed the confirmation vote. They've reopened the hearings. They've invited the professor to tell her story repeatedly. before the committee, even though the lawyer for Professor Ford said they do it under oath in an open forum. Well, Senate Republicans have said you can do it in an open or closed door session. They've reached out by phone and email for more background. They're handling this with the utmost care, as it should be, professionalism, as it should be. And the Senate Judiciary Committee even offered to fly their staff anywhere in the U.S. to meet with Professor Ford for a private interview. The professor's attorney said that they would testify under oath and say and tell the story publicly, that they wanted to tell the story publicly. But then again, that contradicts what Dianne Feinstein, who's known about this, had this since July 30th. You know, Charles Grassley and the Republicans have still not gotten the original unredacted letter to Feinstein. Why hasn't, what, is there something in there? Should it's hiding? Why? Anyway, so up till now, Professor Ford was refusing an invitation, unless, of course, there was an FBI investigation, and it's the U.S. Senate. The FBI does not get to choose or be involved in this. It's advice and consent. That's the constitutional role of the Senate, and not the FBI. The FBI stated publicly the allegations do not involve any federal crime. So only the Senate can perform their own probe here. And they're now literally, you know, been stonewalling because politics is in play. And Dianne Feinstein's not even showing Senate Republicans the full unredacted letter that Professor Ford sent to the Democrats back in July when she made the allegations. And according to other Judiciary Committee members and the chairman, Charles Grassley, the letter to Ford's attorneys, well, they're having a hard time and have been having a hard time reaching Professor Ford. You know, committee staff have attempted to contact you by phone, email several times to schedule a call at a convenient time for you and your client. We thus have not heard back from you with regard to that request. Grassley's letter reiterating the invitation to appear before Congress. You've stated repeatedly, Dr. Ford wants to tell her story. I sincerely hope that Dr. Ford will accept my invitation and to do so either privately or publicly on Monday. Despite all these efforts. Senator Collins of Maine, I think, has been more right than anybody. This is not fair to anybody in this. Because, you know something, what if he's innocent? What if this never happened? And what if she's telling the truth? For this to be held back by partisan Democrats was wrong for everybody involved here. You know, we're talking about 36 years ago. By the way, the timeline that they're setting up is exactly the timeline that Joe Biden set up for Clarence Thomas. There's no rush here on anybody's part, but there's an urgency to it all. You know, one of the biggest pieces of evidence that this is political, I can tell you right now, is, you know, can you not give a chance? Does anyone give the chance that maybe you can believe Judge Kavanaugh? The Constitution be damned. I mean, we're just going to lock them up, throw away the key. I've got more tape that I could play for you today of people just taking sides. And it's all because of politics. And by the way, this guy's kids are watching this. You know, all the rest. Now, why aren't they looking into Keith Ellison? Why are they not looking into Keith Ellison? All right, we'll get into all of that. Also, the lawyer for Professor Ford is a partisan that took very different positions on the issue, on issues like this in the Paula Jones case, the Al Franken case. And she's a left-wing activist. Now, that doesn't mean that Professor Ford is, but the positions of her attorney are wholly inconsistent. Which says, well, okay. By the way, apparently Professor Ford wants to set up these conditions. We'll give you more on that. We got to take a quick break here. We are in Vegas, and 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number from the station KDON Radio we're at today, the new 101.5 FM and 720 AM KDON Radio.
For decades, credit cards have been telling us buy it now and pay for it later with interest. Despite your best intentions, that interest can get out of control fast. With Lending Club, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to a bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to LendingClub.com. Tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/today. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/today. LendingClub.com/today. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Oh. Well, now we have, it looks like Democratic activists have been surrounding Senator Grassley's office today in an attempt to intimidate him in any way they possibly can, chanting, "We believe Christine Ford." And as they walk with their fist raised in the air into Grassley's office, some sharing their stories of their own stories. And Grassley is the committee. I think Charles Grassley has done everything possible. I think he's done the right thing. He's handled it professionally. He's tried to be accommodating, and he has been. But, you know, if you look at some of the things of that, first of all, everybody that's saying, "I believe her," why don't you just wait to hear from both sides and then decide? Why do you not believe in a fundamental principle that you have a presumption of innocence? You have Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, you know, telling men to sit down and shut up.
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation, but really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country, and I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change.
Shut up and step up. And, you know, another unidentified female, we played this last night. When I see Republicans, what they're doing today, they seem tentative and nervous. And today, insisting in a bullying manner, Kristen Gillibrand, in a bullying manner, I think what Republicans are doing is outrageous. She actually said this. She goes, "I wouldn't even appear." What are you talking about, not appear? Why not appear? This man's net. What about when she said this is a sham hearing? I don't think she should participate in it. I'm like, okay, nobody believes in the principles that have guided this country rightly for so many years, the presumption of innocence. And if you look at the entirety of Judge Kavanaugh's life, this is the anomaly. This is not what we've seen for 40 years. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Many thanks. We're out in Vegas. The president has a rally here tonight for Senator Heller, who's up for re-election. And it's an important state, important race, and it's going to mean a lot, especially if Republicans can gain seats in the Senate, it's going to be huge. If they hold the House, you know, you got to ask yourself a question. Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? Is the economy better off than it was 2 years ago? By every economic measure we have, the answer is yes. Are you safer and more secure than you were 2 years ago? I'd say yes with North Korea. I'd say yes, we're out of that ridiculous Iranian deal. I'd say yes, because we spent $3.5 billion beginning the process of building the wall. You know, we have news out today. Jobless claims now have fallen to a 49-year low for the third straight week. That means the number of Americans filing applications for new unemployment benefits, a 49-year low. We have record low unemployment in 14 states. Record low unemployment, when you break it down demographically, for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, for women in the workplace, a 65-year record. For youth unemployment, 51-year record. The Dow has also hit a new record, surpassing even January's level. Apple rising. And by the way, all the information about China you've been hearing about, well, China's stock market is in a free fall. What does that mean? That means that they're pretty soon going to make a phone call to Donald J. Trump, and they want to sit down at the table, and we're going to get a better deal from them. You know, look at Florida. I see it's a close race in Florida with Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis. Well, Gillum, for those of you in Florida, he wants to hike Florida business taxes by 40%. You're going to pay 40% more on everything you buy. Now, by the way, you say, well, he's taxing businesses. He's not taxing me. Well, no, because business, they're not going to take a 40% hit. Business is going to pass that money, those increases, on to you. So the people of Florida will be paying the 40% increase. We'll see how that. I'm not a believer. I think Ron DeSantis would be a great governor in the state. Rick Scott, a great senator. That would be a pickup for Republicans if he could win that. I see that Claire McCaskill has rushed to judgment. She's not going to support Judge Kavanaugh. I also hear that there's a little birdies telling me things, sources they're called. Well, Hannity, you're not a reporter. You're not a journalist. No, I'm a talk show host, but as part of my duties, I do journalism. Part of my duties, I do investigative reporting that my fellow overpaid and lazy colleagues can't get off their ass and do. We do their job for them. We've broken more stories in the last 2 years than they ever did. We vetted Obama more than they ever dreamed of vetting Obama. They were just sycophants, not doing their job. Yeah, so we break a lot of news. And my sources are, well, they give me a lot of good information. Right now, the generic ballot has been reduced to 4 points. What about the big blue wave? That means it's preventable. Right now, the latest generic poll, ballot poll, is only 4%. That's it. This is the Economist YouGov poll released yesterday. 45% of respondents said they'd back the Democratic candidate in their district. 41% the Republicans. But you're going to have to ask a question. Are you better off today? Is the country better off today? Is it safer today in America? We're building a wall. Little Rocket Man's not firing his rockets over Japan and threatening Guam and the entire region and the Korean Peninsula, even China and Japan. Are we better off? Yeah, we're better off. Are we better off that we're not dealing with maniacal Iranian mullahs? Their economy is collapsing because of the Trump economic pressures and sanctions that he's put in place. And if you don't think your vote matters, you know, if you think 2 years of investigations of Robert Mueller and his merry band of Democratic donors is bad, imagine Adam Shifty Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, I want my crumbs back as Speaker. I mean, because their agenda is clear. They want to impeach Trump. They hate him. They want to destroy him. They want their crumbs back. Well, the crumbs, that's $2,000 in the average family's pocket. It's not exactly crumbs. She describes the tax cuts as crumbs, but that's real money for real people living real lives that, you know, aren't as wealthy as Nancy Pelosi. You know, we have more jobs available in this country than we actually have people on unemployment. That's never happened. Another record that we're setting. You know, you look at the politics out of Texas. Now, this was fascinating. There was a Senate district race in the state of Texas on Tuesday. It is an overwhelmingly Hispanic district. It's a district that Obama carried by 55%, Clinton 54-42, and a Republican won that state Senate seat. By the way, that's 139 years since a Republican last held that seat. And if you can look at the statistics, it's 66% Hispanic American, 73% Black Hispanic American, and it covers 80% of the Texas 23rd district, which is currently held by a Republican. But anyway, this was a massive win. This is a massive turnaround. By the way, a lot of people have been worried about Senator Ted Cruz, and I think you should be. You got, you know, a very charismatic leftist liberal that is going to vote lockstep with every other liberal Democrat. Might as well be voting for Chuck Schumer if you vote against Cruz. Ted Cruz has been a vital partner for the president. But the key question, DeRoy Murdoch had a great piece. Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? We just hit 4.2% GDP growth. Obama's the first president, and he never hit 3% GDP growth in a year. This is a guy that said, those manufacturing jobs aren't coming back. We've created in 2 years more manufacturing jobs have come back than we've had combined in the last 30 years. 4.2% growth. Obama couldn't get what? He's the only president never to reach 3% GDP growth in a year. The Atlanta Fed is predicting 4.7% for the third quarter. So the economy is humming. Median household income was 60 grand in 2016. Now it's 61,372. Up an inflation adjusted 1.8%. Hourly wages are up. Unemployment is down the lowest it's ever been. Job claims lowest it's ever been. Consumer confidence an 18-year high. Home ownership rate has now risen to 64%. Home ownership rate under Obama was awful. He put 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty. Guess what? We have four million Americans on food stamps today since Trump's president. We have 4 million new jobs created in 2 years in this country. It all makes a difference. By the way, Gallup had a poll showing you, the American people, expressing record levels of satisfaction with the economy. Two-thirds of you. I mean, it's the Gallup organization. Americans are happy with the booming U.S. economy, and a near record think the job market is the best ever. Well, it is. And it's the policies of the president that has got us here. Yeah, I know he tweets something that occasionally you don't like, or says something you don't like, or he fights back and he annoys people because he fights back. All right, fine. Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? Is the country safer and more secure in relation to Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea, and building the border wall? Is the economy better off than it was under Obama? Yeah. The lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. Lowest home ownership rate under Obama in 51 years. He accumulated more debt than every single president before him combined. He's the guy that said in 2008, $9 trillion in debt. That's irresponsible. That's unpatriotic. Well, he gave us more than $9 trillion himself. He left with $20 trillion in debt.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
$20 trillion is what he left with. So let me go back to everything that is saying that you hear the left. Let's play a little bit of the left, the Democrats, the media, and how they all believe Professor Ford. No presumption of innocence at all. Listen to this.
Well, it's definitely attempted rape. I don't see it any other way.
I think it's appalling. And I'm totally disappointed that all these people who have come forward to say, oh, we should hear from her. And now that she's expecting a modicum of fairness so she's not re-victimized, are now saying, well, if she doesn't want to testify, we should just go ahead. That is additional callousness from my colleagues that I am totally appalled by.
When I see with what the Senate Republicans are doing today, you know, yesterday they seemed a little tentative and nervous. And today, in insisting, and even in a bullying manner, that Dr. Ford proceed with the hearing on Monday, I think they're trying to scare her.
Well, I think what the Republicans doing is outrageous. They are creating a false choice. They are trying to bully her into testifying on Monday before a full FBI background check is completed.
I think that she is the one who is taking tremendous risk in coming forward, and I think she's saying, let me just have a fair shot at this. Don't put me in front of a bunch of men on the Judiciary mm-hmm. Committee who have already predetermined what the outcome should be.
Oh, okay. That's what they're saying. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Does anyone give any chance that maybe you can believe Kavanaugh? Richard Blumenthal, let me say right from the outset, I believe Dr. Ford. I believe that there's a survivor here. There's every reason to believe her. A case closed, guilt by accusation. That's not the America that I know. But, you know, the interesting thing is you look at the Democrats over the years, they've not always been that way. And, you know, the thing that makes me most suspicious is their playbook is predictable. Every 2-4 years, Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air and water. They want to kill children, and they want to throw granny over the cliff. And then the same thing with Supreme Court nominations. You know, you get the borking. The smears, the lies, the slander, the mischaracterizations, the just absolute vicious, vile attacks. Judge Bork, Clarence Thomas, just but two examples. You know, they have every opportunity since July to bring this information out. They sent Judge Kavanaugh 1,300 questions. They had private meetings. They had public hearings on all of this. I think Senator Grassley summed it up best when he said sexual assault allegations should not be deployed strategically for political gain. He's right. What we're seeing now is just another sad, pathetic chapter of the left in this country, their predictable playbook. You see it every election season. You see it in every confirmation for the Supreme Court. That's why people have a right to be skeptical. Their past speaks for itself. And they'll say and do anything to get power, some people. This is the same party as Keith Ellison. You know what? I mean, he just got his party's nomination to run for the Attorney General of the great state of Minnesota, while his ex-girlfriend now, not 36 years ago, now, is accusing him of recent domestic, physical, and emotional abuse and violence, tweeting that the Democratic Party is slandering her, smearing her, isolating her. Where are any of these senators saying that they believe Professor Ford? They don't say they believe Keith Ellison's girlfriend. And most of these same people, look at, they walked the halls with Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Well, if you look at the court records of his ex-wife, and I know they get along now, that's fine with them, but you can't ignore the record, you know, of his abuse that she put in paper in court records under the threat of perjury. You know, and I'll tell you another thing. You know, nobody stood up for Paula Jones. None of these people. Where's the FBI investigation for Juanita Broderick or Kathleen Willey, who was, you know, touched and fondled and groped and grabbed in the Oval Office by Bill Clinton? You know, you get into this this attorney for Professor Ford. I mean, you got to pay very close attention to this woman. She, you know, I'm looking at her record. She's not consistent on this issue. She said Paula Jones's case is very weak. She alleged an incident took place in a hotel room that only lasted 10 to 12 minutes. She suffered no repercussions. What are you talking about? He pulled down his pants and said, kiss it. What are you talking about? And by the way, she won a settlement of $850,000. You know, and then she said of Jones, quote, accusation, clearly a one-time incident that took place, in 10 to 20 minutes. She was not forced to have sex. She left of her own volition. The courts increasingly are finding that this is not enough to create a sexually hostile work environment. Huh? But yet you're now representing Professor Ford, and we have to believe everything she says. Well, the attorney Katz is not consistent. By the way, she even defended Al Franken. She said context is relevant. He didn't do this as a member of the Senate. He did this in his capacity of someone who was still functioning as an entertainer. No, he was a senator. What is she talking? She's making excuses. You see, it's not the same. None of these people are going to go after an FBI investigation into Keith Ellison's girlfriend because they're not consistent. And they don't care about at all due process. They literally rush to judgment for political reasons. And that's why I believe her. I don't believe him. I believe her. The fair and just, James, I need the spot. Thank you. The fair and just thing is let everybody hear from everybody. That's how you handle this. That's what Charles Grassley's trying to do.
The latest being a letter from the chairman to the Democrats saying we have done everything we can to contact her. That is such I can hardly stand it.
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation, but really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country, and I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing.
This is what I grew up with, that men are supposed to protect you from these predatory males.
I do too.
And they're not doing that.
And believe
you. On the contrary.
But we have to.
These people in Congress right now, in that Senate Judiciary Committee, these white men, old, by the way, mm-hmm. are not protecting women. They're yeah. protecting a man who is probably guilty. If you're not Judge Kavanaugh, take the lie detector test.
Yeah.
Prove it the way she did and the way Anita Hill did, that they were not lying. Let's see that from you. Or are you a coward?
Yeah.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
We know how difficult it is to stand up to powerful people.
We want to thank you for publicly sharing your story of sexual violence.
As members of the Senate determine whether Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh
should serve as a Supreme Court Justice.
The Supreme Court Justice.
This context is critical.
The behavior you described was wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong, and runs directly counter to upholding the law
and promoting justice.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
We can also imagine how shocking and overwhelming it must have been
to have your truth shared on a national stage without your permission.
You should be the decision maker about how your story is shared,
if ever.
We applaud your courage in coming forward
for the public good.
And we will be with you as you face the inevitable backlash.
The inevitable backlash.
The inevitable backlash.
You are strong.
You are strong.
And you are not alone.
You are a survivor.
A survivor.
A survivor.
And millions of us have your back.
You and your testimony are credible.
You and your testimony are credible.
You and your testimony are credible.
We believe you.
We believe you.
We believe you.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Credible. We believe you. We believe you. Where's the presumption of innocence? What if people did an ad and say, we believe Judge Kavanaugh? I wonder how people would write in that case. Now, the people that have known him, because listen, we're going to be blunt. Nobody knows because nobody was there except one guy. And that one guy that was there said, no, I don't remember that at all. That didn't happen that I remember. And then, of course, the judges vehemently denied it. It's 36 years ago. She didn't tell anybody, as I understand it, till she went to this couple's therapy in 2012 with her husband. And then some of the, you know, she's saying that she remembered some of it then. Now, I wonder, where are these same people saying, we believe you, you're credible, saying it about Keith Ellison's girlfriend that claims she was physically and emotionally threatened and abused? This is happening now, and she may have pictures and videos to back it up. She has a doctor's report she put out from 2017. Did any of these same women say that they believe Paula Jones? Any of them? No, there was a Clinton smear machine that went out there and assassinated the character of Jennifer Flowers. Jennifer Flowers told the truth. It wasn't years later. Bill Clinton admitted, even though the whole campaign said he'd never had sex with Jennifer Flowers. Yeah, and eventually, in the Monica Lewinsky years, he had to admit, yeah, I had sex with Jennifer Flowers. Jennifer Flowers told the truth, but she was smeared. Paula Jones, you know, look at the attorney for Professor Ford, Deborah Katz is her name. She's a longtime Democratic activist. Donated tens of thousands of dollars to Democrats. But if you look at her track record in previous cases involving sexual misconduct allegations, when they were made, well, you know, this what she said about Paula Jones. Paula Jones' suit is very, very weak. She's alleged an incident took place in a hotel room by her testimony that lasted 10 to 12 minutes. She suffered no repercussions in the workplace. The allegation was Bill Clinton actually pulled his pants down and exposed himself and asked her to perform a sex act. And then she said of Jones's accusation, this is Deborah Katz, the attorney for Professor Ford, and she said, well, she wasn't forced to have sex. She left of her own volition. The courts increasingly are finding that this is not enough to create a sexually hostile work environment. Pulling down your pants and your boss saying, kiss it, that's not a sexual harassment? So I guess she only wants people to believe the cases that fit her political agenda. Clearly, the attorney has a political agenda. When the case of creepy Al Franken came up, she said, context is relevant. He did not do this as a member of the Senate. He did this in his capacity of someone who was still functioning as an entertainer. He was a senator at the time that he did it, working on something with the Senate, flying abroad. No Democrats ever demanded an FBI investigation for Paula Jones. She won her settlement, $850,000. Juanita Broderick accused Bill Clinton of rape. She wants an FBI investigation. Kathleen Willey accused Clinton of groping, grabbing, fondling, touching her in the Oval Office against her will. So what you're seeing here is selective moral outrage, if it fits a political agenda. They all lived, everybody, all these senators, many of them still there today. They love the Clintons. But the women that I mentioned were smeared and slandered repeatedly. You know, today we're watching Keith Ellison. He's won the Democratic primary. Any of these senators that are, anybody, Hollywood people that say that Professor Ford's credible and we believe you, are they saying any of the same things to Keith Ellison's girlfriend? I don't know. Why the silence on that case? You know, because if you look at it, what does this mean? It means they're playing politics, sadly. Otherwise, I guess they'd be out there saying the same thing, or they'd be asking for an FBI investigation into Juanita Broderick's charges. What they're doing is playing politics with the Kavanaugh nomination. The right way to handle this is invite her in, which she's been invited. And by the way, we have some new details on that, which we're getting to. Then we're going to talk to our friend, longtime friend of this program, Herman Cain, but she now has conditions. First, it can't be Monday. Second, her safety must be guaranteed. And by the way, I'm sorry. I really mean this. It's horrible when you're in the public eye, the way people are treated. It's horrible. People need to leave her alone. And she deserves police protection at this time. Everybody needs to be safe. I'm pretty sure probably Judge Kavanaugh is getting the same thing. It's horrible being in a public eye in any way. It's sad. And anyway, then she said that she doesn't want to be questioned by any senators that don't believe her story. That's not the way the process works. Senators who appear to have made up their minds that she is mistaken or mixed up. No sexual assault survivors subjected to such an ordeal. So we're only going to take questions from people that agree with her or that want to believe her. How about we just get to the truth? Herman Cain went through this when he was running for president. He's remembered for 999. He's a good friend of the program. I'm also proud that he has launched a new organization that I think is going to be a very powerful force. It's called the America Fighting Back PAC. Yes. And Herman Cain, how are you?
Sean, I am doing great. Allow me to use one word for your opening montage. Pathetic. All of those accusations against Kavanaugh and all of those defenses of Dr. Ford are simply pathetic for all of the reasons that you indicated. Allow me to allow three other thoughts for your listeners. High school? That's a question. 36 years? That's a question. Selective memory? That's a question. This is beyond the pale of ridiculous. And I call it the Democrat kabuki delay. That's what this is about. Now, relative to the FBI investigation, the statute of limitations on everything that they could claim has already expired. Period. But yet, they're going to claim that we ought to wait. This is one individual, through the encouragement of her Democrat congressional candidate, a member of Congress, through her Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein, that are trying to hold the Senate hostage and also hold the American people hostage.
Herman, let me ask you one thing.
It does not pass the smell test.
You know, I know you went through this, and I had known you all these years, many, many years, and I never believed it. I know you. I know you're not that person, and I said it at the time. Because I know you, I had a frame of reference. after you had to get out of the race because you couldn't afford fighting this anymore.
Correct.
The second you left, all of that talk went away. Gone.
It all went away.
In a second, it went away.
Sean.
Did you ever have any follow-up for any of that, or was it just, let's make the allegation, make your life a living hell, cost you a fortune to get into it, distract from your message, right?
The only follow-up was the follow-up that I did with my own private investigator. Here's what my private investigator found out after the fact. The media didn't care. After the fact, they found out that one of the women that accused me was in court at the time under a liable lying case. She lost that case for lying on her partner. This is the same one that accused me of sexual harassment. One of the other accusers had gone through the EEOC of Washington, D.C. They investigated it. They went in, came to the National Restaurant Association. They checked it out, and they said they couldn't find anybody at the National Restaurant Association to corroborate her story. And so they dismissed her claim. Okay, this is why the Brett Kavanaugh situation frustrates me and angers me so much. The liberal media, they don't care about the truth. They care about trying to support the Democrat liberal objective of derailing this nominee.
It's unbelievable, and it's sad, and look at where we are. Tell me about, and it, in many ways, didn't it hurt your reputation through your life? Didn't it have it never goes away when somebody makes an accusation. I think what should happen here is this. Let her speak. Let Kavanaugh speak. Let the women that have known him from that age, high school, college, law school, the Bush administration, law clerks that have worked for him, female law clerks, associates, let them all speak, and then you're going to have to make a decision. How do you... And at that
I believe that Chuck Grassley and the Republicans are doing the right thing. Okay. You want to speak and tell your side of the story? Come on in. They gave her a week. Now she's backpedaling. She's saying she may not come in. Then they throw up this phony, we need an FBI investigation. That is ridiculous. It's another thing in this whole kabuki denial, which is what they are trying to do. You don't get an FBI investigation.
How about we presume
that happened 36 years ago?
FBI, it's not a federal crime in the statute of limitations.
No.
But it's a serious allegation that deserves to be taken seriously. I think the Republican senators have given her every consideration. And now you get back listed demands on this whole thing. I won't talk to only certain senators, et cetera. Tell me about the America Fighting Back Pack, that you put together and how people can get a hold of you.
America Fighting Back Pack is a super PAC. You can go to the website at AFB, American Fighting Back Pack.com, if you want to help us. What we are doing is spreading the positive message of this president and this administration to counter a lot of the negative messages that you know are being put out there by the liberal media. I am chairman of American Fighting Back, and I invite everybody to assist us in this effort, because we only have another 47 days to convince people. I believe, as Abraham Lincoln,
I got to run, but give me the website. We'll put it up on Hannity.com too.
It's AFBPAC.com. That's where you put it up.
All right, Herman, we love you. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate your time. 800-941-SEAN. Oh, we got new damning videos released by James O'Keefe. We'll get to that. Sarah and Greg, yeah, they want to undermine our Constitution. That's all coming up from Vegas, the new 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON Radio. All right, as we continue from Vegas, many thanks for our affiliate out here, the new 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON Radio. One of the biggest, baddest signals in all of radio, and they're always so nice and fun and accommodating when we come here. We're doing Hannity tonight, by the way, from the arena where the president will be speaking. Project Veritas strikes again. we have saboteurs within all these departments in Washington. He's going to break it open in our next segment. Sarah and Greg, how, oh, don't defy the president's declassification order. That's not going to work.
Right, so I work for the Government Accountability Office. Everyone in my office who's close to me now not only knows that I'm a socialist, knows that I'm an atheist. And I try not to...
Do you know or they don't know?
They do.
Okay.
A lot of people know. Management does not. You have to be strategic about things like that.
We have a whole bunch of just like communists know, you know, prefix and that's what we do. We have some folks who are like shots, I guess, we're not serious.
I have informed them. I filed all the paperwork I needed to file.
Yeah.
I was purposely a little bit vague about what kind of organization it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's a community organization. We do this, we do that. I wasn't like, it's a socialist organization and we want to, you know, destroy capitalism. I am a government auditor, right? So I work for the Government Accountability Office.
We have a whole bunch of just like communists, you know, prefix, and that's what's in here. We have some folks who are like Trotskyists, so we're not Stalinists.
Number of DSA employees are federal, or DSA employees, DSA, like, people are federal employees.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like not about capitalists, just because, like, it's the biggest employer here, right? So,
yeah.
Some of them are, like, full-time on political campaigns right now.
Yeah.
So, like, when those end, they're, like, kind of up in the air. There's some, like, legislators, some policy people. It's kind of all over the place.
People are from, like, various agencies, usually executive branch.
Like, if you're an executive branch agency, you can slow ball things to a degree that it's, like, ineffective, and maybe you get in trouble, and maybe, you know, you get fired, or you resign, or whatever, but, like, you slow them down for a certain period of time.
Like, I have a friend who works as a contractor for DOT, and he has a TS clearance, and he's very active.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of DOD stuff does he do?
He works on Syria.
On Syria?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, counter intelligence?
No, it's more just like, you know, work on like stuff.
Okay.
He doesn't like it. He's trying to get out.
So when you're at work, can you do DSA stuff too? Like when you're actually in the office?
Can is a weird question, right? I would get fired if they knew that I was, and I do.
Yeah.
I do it on my phone.
So, I'm in the clear. No one knows. I spent 6 hours yesterday doing social media for DSA.
Technically, everything I'm doing with DSA is stuff I'm not supposed to be doing for work. So, like,
what do you mean?
Like, it's explicitly prohibited. So, like, if they find out, I can get in trouble basically.
The thing about it is, I can log on and then just be like, I'm not gonna do anything for half an hour. I might respond to a couple of emails, but like, there's no one looking over my shoulder. So, like, a lot of times what I'll do, and this is kind of what I'm doing right now, is like, I'll drink the night before. I telework, and then I'm like, if I'm like, you know, 15 minutes late to log on, no one checks.
Yeah.
And, you know, people aren't calling me.
That's what my attitude is. Like, I break rules every day. At any point, I could get fired for stuff that I do with DSA.
I can get fired any day for the stuff that I do with the DOJ. I get fired for, oh, we're going to do a slow walk. We're going to slow down the agenda. What you have is the resistance movement now being exposed day after day. Now, this first came to light with the anonymous, the written letter in the New York Times that they decided that they thought was a responsible thing to run, which it was not. It wasn't responsible in any way. Anyway, glad you're with us. Sean Hannity Show. We're in Vegas today. We're doing the show from the rally where the president will be speaking later, 7 o'clock local time, Vegas time, 10 o'clock Eastern, right after Hannity gets off the air. We have an interview with the president that we'll be telling you about. Now, by the way, many thanks to our affiliate out here once again, the new 101.5 FM and 720 AM K-Dawn Radio. I mean, this blowtorch now is heard everywhere. It's unbelievable. What great coverage. Anyway, this is now day three and the third installment of ProjectVeritas.com and their undercover video series. And what they're doing is showing deep state resistant actors openly talking about not being fired, but resisting the agenda, undermining the agenda of the president, the administration that was actually elected. Now, if you remember, we first reported 2 days ago, it featured a member of the Democratic Socialists of America that were literally admitting engaging in political activism while working at the Department of State. And then yesterday they featured another individual that worked at the Department of Justice, also a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and they were using government-owned software and computers advancing their political activism, which is the opposite agenda of what the president wants and what his State Department and Justice Department want, at odds with everything, and we're paying for all these people. Now, today's report, what you just heard, this was a conglomeration of the three reports. Well, this is from the Government Accountability Office. You have an employee there, self-proclaimed communist, actively engaged in potentially involved in illegal activity. And in other words, a government auditor for the GAO, a member of the Metro DC Democratic Socialists of America. In one exchange, he's describing his political philosophies and those of his comrades in the DSA. We have a bunch of just communists, no prefix. And that's pretext, and that's basically me. We also have some folks that are Leninists and Trotskyists, and sometimes as a government employee, well, you have to keep it under wraps a little bit so you don't get in trouble, and that's kind of what I try to do. Says the federal employees in the executive branch agencies can deliberately work less efficiently in order to slow down the implementation of the president's agenda. Now, if you're an executive branch agency, you can slowball things to a degree that it's like ineffective. Now, maybe you get in trouble, maybe you get fired or resign or whatever, but you slow down the Trump agenda for a certain period of time. They think they're doing God's work, just like those that abuse power in the FBI. They thought they were super patriots. Anyway, he engages in political activism while at work, while we, the taxpayers, are paying for them. Everything I'm doing with the DSA is stuff I'm not supposed to be doing for work. It's explicitly prohibited. If they found out, I could get in trouble, basically. No one knows I spent 6 hours yesterday doing social media for the Democratic Socialists of America. Now, joining us now, he is the CEO of ProjectVeritas.com. He put all of this together. James O'Keefe is with us, and it even gets more disturbing, and I'll give you an opportunity to explain.
Well, Sean, this is the third video in 3 days that shows there are federal workers working to subvert the very foundations of our government. And this is the most inflammatory piece yet. This self-described communist who talks about people with security clearances, as you hear this audio here, inside the Democratic Socialists of America, inside Washington, D.C., they all are federal employees working to undermine the Trump administration. But this guy, he says that he lies on federal forms, which is a felony. It's a violation of USC 1001. So he is probably the most amazing official yet. And we have statements, Sean, from all the agencies. Mike Pompeo has issued a statement last night talking about how he can't speak about it, but, you know, they're looking into the matter. We've got the DOJ is looking into the illegal activities of the Department of Justice official. The GAO has issued a statement about this person today saying they're investigating the issue. So everyone's taking it quite seriously, but it's time, Sean, for Congress to kind of buck up and do their jobs and provide oversight to what these agencies are doing.
When are they going to get fired? With all due respect, I mean, they're even admitting in their own words that they know they can get fired or resigned, although one guy was pretty arrogant and said, oh, they're never going to fire me. I can't get in trouble for this. You know, quote, everything that I'm doing with the DSA, the Democratic Socialist of America, is stuff I'm not supposed to be doing for work. It's explicitly prohibited. If I find out, I could get in trouble. Well, you're even saying that there are legal issues in play here, especially if people have security clearances.
Well, there's definitely – it's a violation of a litany of ethics rules. The Yellow Book rules apply specifically to government auditors, and there's United States Code 1001 for lying on the forms. I'm hearing on Capitol Hill that this guy may have resigned. I'm trying to confirm that. But all these officials in these videos say in every video, they say, I can't get fired for anything. The State Department guy was particularly egregious when he said, I'm a federal employee. We can't get fired. The DOJ official says, what's kind of lucky is at the DOJ we can't get fired. So they're using the rules of our government, the civil service protections, against the government. And it's kind of putting people all the poker chips on the table, and we're asking these congressional officials to do something about this, to make the reforms, Sean, because this is not just an isolated incident. This is an existential crisis. It's replacing the Constitution and the separation of powers for the people that we've elected in these agencies to be subverting the will of the voters.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back more with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. Your call's coming up later, and Sarah and Greg, developing deep state story that some of the names you will most recognize in the deep state involved in a fraud and keeping two sets of books, if you will. All right, as we continue with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, day three of his investigative series. Even in the application process, in the tape release today, I've filed all the paperwork I needed to file. I was purposely vague about what kind of organization the Democratic Socialists of America was. I wasn't like, this is a socialist organization and we want to destroy capitalism. But obviously that's what they want to do.
Well, that was this ethics and financial disclosure forms, and Judicial Watch asked me, how did you get those forms? And this individual, this official, this auditor at the Government Accountability Office actually gave our undercover journalist the forms in an apparent attempt to impress us with his communist bona fides, giving us the forms, saying, look, I lied on the forms, and I actually spent 6 hours at work yesterday doing Democratic Socialist of America activities. He also says that he's hungover, he stays home, nobody cares, nobody provides oversight. Sean, this tape is unbelievable. It's
no, what
one
he
of
says
the most
is,
inflammatory things.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, well, I can stay home. He goes, no one's looking over my shoulder. And, you know, like a lot of times what I'll do, and this is kind of what I'm doing right now, I'll drink the night before, I'll telework, and then I'm like, well, if I'm 15 minutes late logging on, nobody checks. And, nobody fully investigates. Nobody seems to even know what he does for the DSA.
Right, and this is potentially felonious. This is criminal to lie. I mean, we talked about this the other day, that they're arbitrarily, selectively enforcing the law. Well, here's a guy who has to submit a financial and ethics disclosure form to the federal government. He's an auditor. He's a government auditor. He's supposed to provide oversight to our government, and he's lying to the government, not doing work, and conducting democratic socialist activity, and he admits that it's explicitly prohibited, and he says that nothing probably will happen to him. I mean, he said I could get fired, but you know what? No one's looking over my shoulder. So he's testing our system, and the Republicans, Sean, they have to do something about this. They have to do something. I don't have the power to compel them, but I do have the power to illuminate this and make it extremely clear to the American people just how rotten it is. Sean, the mainstream media, I mean, get this. The Washington Post wrote a very positive article in the print edition about these videos, Sean. Can you believe that? They're positive. They're actually saying, oh my goodness. Well, a couple of these reporters are asking me, how did you get these guys to talk? Because they're used to...
By the way, I guess either hell froze over or they're out drinking late at night, because that's not their usual practice.
Well, listen, when the information is this devastating, when it's so clear, again, we're not showing you anonymous sources. You can see and hear the sources for yourself. When you see the hubris, the lack of introspection, the greed, the arrogance, the I can't get fired, the I'm breaking the law, at a certain point, even journalists at the Washington Post say, good on you. You know, you got them.
Enough is enough. Look, it's pretty scary stuff. I mean, just the whole thing. Now, we have a case, by the way, of, you remember this lefty woman who harassed the DHS secretary, may have confessed to a felony. You want to tell that story out of the work that you've been doing?
Yes, that's a very important point. So this was this video yesterday we released about this official, Allison Rabar, in the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice. And in this video, she admits to running license plates and using LexisNexis, which her colleague says that she used the Department of Justice's LexisNexis to target Nielsen and target other conservatives in the government, to conservative private citizens. That's hugely illegal. That's a massive felony. And Sean, we did get a statement from the Department of Justice, and it was a very serious statement, and they're looking into it.
I'm going to make a prediction here. People are going to get fired. This tape is too It's too devastating. You can't survive these tapes. There's no way these people survive.
Well, the question, Sean, is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I am a small organization with limited resources, and for me to get so far now four officials and counting.
That's unbelievable. All right, I got to run only for the constraints of time, but you can see all of this yourself on projectveritas.com, Hannity.com. More coming out tomorrow?
I'm not sure yet. I may hold until next week, but we'll see what happens to this guy today.
All right, James O'Keefe, thank you for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Huge news as it relates with Judge Kavanaugh. Big breaking news on the deep state. Were there two sets of books kept by the top FBI officials we always talk about? That's next.
It's a terrible precedent to have a president trying to make his own personal defense by playing with intelligence.
This is quite lawless of the president to selectively declassify. You know, he's only putting forward to the American people what he believes helps him, completely and recklessly risking sources and methods who could be put at risk and have their lives at risk.
I think Christopher Wray, director of FBI, and Dan Coats, director of National Intelligence, as well as Rod Rosenstein, who is overseeing this investigation, should push back against any directive that is going to have negative impact on our capabilities, as well as the investigation. So I think they should continue to push. If Mr. Trump and the White House does not relent, well, then I think they have some decisions to make, whether or not they're going to just not follow that direction and be fired, or to resign. But if they really believe that this is going to have serious impact on our national security, law enforcement, and judicial process, they have an obligation, since they took an oath of office, to the Constitution of the United States, not to Mr. Trump.
Declassify immediately without redactions.
Is there any national security concerns?
No, and we've heard this same story over and over again. The same people that are out there that are running around saying, oh, there's national security concerns with this, we're going to reveal some sources and methods, happen to be the same people who are involved. They're either covering up for their agency or they are involved. And that's totally unacceptable. And this is why we have to continue to get this message out to the American people that have been force-fed this Russian Kool-Aid. This is just Russian Kool-Aid that was force-fed on the American people for 2 years.
Do you believe people in the highest levels of the FBI and the DOJ committed crimes against the United States and tried to undo a presidential election?
Well, I think many crimes could have been broken, and I have said this numerous times, that I don't know how DOJ and FBI investigate themselves, because they are all implicated in this. I'd like to see them do that, but they just are not taking action on it. As it relates, I want to make another point. The text messages between all of them and text messages they were sending, you don't get to send out classified information on your cell phone. That it's not classified. If it's classified, then right there and then they should be held accountable, because they broke the law if they were sending classified information over cell phones. So that should be declassified immediately.
All right, that was Congressman Devin Nunes. He is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, on with me last night on Hannity. And all the talk by this phony liar, Shifty Schiff, and others, oh, this is going to damage our national security. No, it's not, because the almost the entire dossier that was used to obtain the FISA warrants was the Hillary Clinton bought and paid for Russian lies. And if they had news articles associated with it, they leaked the articles to create circular reporting so it would seem like there were numerous sources so they could commit a fraud on the court. And you've got the media and Democrats lockstep every single day out there pushing a phony hoax, what is a lie and a conspiracy about Trump-Russia collusion that never occurred. There's no evidence it ever occurred. Anyway, joining us now, investigative reporter Sarah Carter, Fox News contributor. She's with us in Vegas, as well as Greg Jarrett with us in Vegas. And although not in studio here with me, but by the way, Greg's number one New York Times bestseller, The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. He's going to be headed out to the Villages. If you live in the Villages or in Orlando, he's going to be there September the 26th, 7 p.m., doing a book signing and a speech. Thank you both for being with us. I thought Devin Nunes last night, Sarah, really you know, put to bed the lie that is being perpetrated in the letter that was sent out. You know, literally you have people like Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Senator Warner, all saying, no, this is dangerous for national security. And John Brennan similarly saying it. But yet they're lying to the American people, aren't they?
They're absolutely lying to the American people. A number of people have already viewed these documents. They've already had time to review them. These are people with high-level TS clearance, top-secret clearance. They put those documents, particular documents that they needed, on the request list. Those do not expose any national security concerns. I think one of the biggest issues, Sean, is that they have played this game over and over again. We've seen this in the past with the other documents. Oh, no, if you let this out, if you let out Devin Nunes's Russia report from the House Intelligence Committee, you're going to be exposing sources and methods. If you redact any of the, if you unredact some of the documents on the Carter Page FISA, you'll be exposing sources and methods. And every single time, no sources or methods were exposed. The American people have to understand that this is a game they're playing right now. It's a very serious game because they do not want that information going public. And we have enough evidence right now to show that there was very serious malfeasance within the FBI and within the DOJ, something so much so that it's in a criminal nature. And I've been speaking to a number of people in the intelligence community that say this has gone far beyond anything they ever expected, and there should be an investigation, and because the DOJ and the FBI cannot investigate themselves, that is why people are calling for a special counsel, begrudgingly, because they know how long these special counsels take. But this is the reason why, and there's going to be more information coming out today. I think that is going to be so damaging to what's happened here with the FBI and the DOJ that they're going to have to do something.
This is going to be a big story tonight, to the extent that you have and others have, and you're working on, and we should be breaking it tonight in Vegas, a story about perhaps all of the big names involved in this deep state scandal and them not being honest and them literally having two sets of records. Is that a way to put it that is doesn't give it all?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I mean, there was definitely information that the agencies were fighting over, both the FBI as well as the CIA. Remember, in their intelligence assessment, there was a big battle as to whether or not to put the dossier along in the intelligence assessment. I think we're going to hear a lot of there's a lot more texts out there where we have more information now of what was going on behind the scenes within the FBI, within the CIA, within the DNI with James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, that's going to expose how damaging this really was. And when you see these text messages, there's no other way around it. They pretty much had it out for Donald Trump, and they were on a mission to stop him and to impeach him. I mean, there's just no other way around this. And I think this is why it's so important that the president actually get these documents declassified.
By the way, is this story that you're going to tell tonight separate and apart from the documents that are going to be released?
Yes, they are separate and apart from the documents that are going to be released.
By the way, Greg, you're going to love the Villages when you're down there. When is that?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday night. The Villages is fun. You get all the golf you can play. They got the coolest people hanging out in bars drinking at 9:30 in the morning. Just be careful what color shoes you pick. That's just a rumor. I don't know. My mother-in-law lives there, so something about
well,
the shoes you pick.
Come out next Wednesday at the Villages. That'd be great. It's in the evening.
Well, let's talk about Devin Nunes is saying no national security concerns. I am more concerned about many that are willing to precipitate a constitutional crisis. And by that, I mean when John Brennan is telling the DOJ and the FBI to defy a presidential order and defy what is clearly the president's constitutional authority. Article 2, Section 1, he is in charge of the executive branch of government. This is not only his role, it is his constitutional duty. They're trying to get people to literally defy the Constitution in the process. That could be a huge dangerous precedents for this country if people think that they have the right to decide, not the president.
Well, you're absolutely right. The president is everyone's superior in the executive branch, and failure to follow his order is an act of rank insubordination, which merits the person's termination. And they're doing all of this under false pretenses, because every time information is declassified, we learn the material should never have been classified to begin with. They use it falsely to cover up their own wrongdoing and abuse of authority. I'll give you two examples. In July, a substantial portion of the wiretap warrant applications presented to the FISA court was declassified. Turns out, no vital sources or methods were revealed. It should never have been classified. Before that, in February, you remember the Republican version of the House Intel Committee's memo on the Russian investigation. That was declassified once again. We discovered there was nothing in there that justified its suppression as classified information. So this is always employed by the FBI and the Department of Justice to hide their own wrongdoing. It is now an abuse of the system and power, and it's a violation of law.
Let's talk about, you wanted to say something, Sarah, go ahead. And by the way, Nellie Orr is not testifying now. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I agree with Greg completely. Well, and this is a big reason why we're seeing Nellie Orr now refusing to testify. You know, all of these new text messages, all of this information is coming out. We know that I've heard that possibly Peter Strzok, that has not been confirmed yet, may not want to testify again. And there are others. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing the rats try to jump off the sinking ship, right? And we're seeing people scurrying, stammering, screaming, and both the DOJ and the FBI saying, well, we're not going to turn this over. Right now, what I know is, and I've been told this by a number of sources, that they are actually in the DOJ and FBI, you know, redacting, they're going through the documents, they're making their redactions, and then they're going to turn it over to the president and make it his authority to declassify. And if I was the president, I would declassify right away. I wouldn't play these games with the FBI and the DOJ. They're just trying to buy time.
I hear they're coming out next week, and it's not going to come out all at once. Why is that?
Well, they're going to come out in trenches because they want to continue to delay this as long as possible. And my source tells me, who's involved in these documents, tells me that the FBI director and Rod Rosenstein in particular are still going to release the documents with redactions. That means
they're defying the president.
That's right. They are defying a presidential order, and they want to force him to issue another order to declassify the redacted version. So they're playing a game, a delay tactic, to get to the midterm elections in hopes that Congress changes hands.
I mean, that is an Article 2, Section 1. Constitution gives the president unfettered authority over all executive branch matters. Now, that means the executive power is vested in a president of the United States. Now, that empowers the president to do a lot of things. Executive actions, orders, memorandums, proclamations, directives to other executive branch officials to take certain actions or refrain from taking other actions. He is in charge of the Department of Justice. It's not the attorney general. Can he, even if he wanted to, couldn't he tell the attorney general to not prosecute a case or to look into
a
case?
In fact, that's what Barack Obama did with a whole group of people who were here illegally in the United States. He issued an executive action directing that their prosecutions and expulsion be deferred.
By the way, itself was unconstitutional because he had acknowledged it some 25 times before he did it, but then he ended up doing it anyway. I can't by executive fiat. We're a nation of laws because his executive authority contradicted the law of the land.
That's right. Other presidents, Democratic presidents, have declassified documents, and their orders were faithfully followed. Now, the CIA didn't always like it when Bill Clinton and Barack Obama declassified hundreds of CIA records, in one case, thousands of them. But they, under law, under the Constitution, were required to follow the order.
I gotta stop you there.
Do so too.
Quick break. Right back. More with Greg Jarrett and Sarah Carter as we continue from Vegas. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour and much more. All right, as we continue with investigative reporter Sarah Carter, number one New York Times bestselling author Greg Jarrett. Next Wednesday, he'll be in the Villages giving a speech and signing books. If you want to go there, 7 o'clock. All right, so let's give a little bit more. We're almost finished for today, but by 9 o'clock Eastern tonight, 6 o'clock here in Vegas time, you're going to have a pretty big story, Sarah, along with John Solomon.
That's right. I think we're hoping to get it out tonight. So fingers crossed, everything plays out the way it should, Sean. I think the most important thing for the American people to understand is that we are right now at the precipice of something that we have never seen before in modern political history. And we've probably uncovered with Greg Jarrett and everybody else some of the most egregious violations within the DOJ and FBI that we could have imagined, because we entrust these people, especially the higher level officials. We entrust them. I mean, these are armed agents of the United States. We trust them with our lives. And now we're seeing that people within those agencies, not like you said, not the boots on the ground, but the high level officials were working together to basically remove a duly elected president. And I think we just need to keep
we need to keep
investigating.
Hopefully we'll have that tonight, 9 Eastern. And by the way, Judge Pirro and Greg and Sarah, they will be at the rally the president is holding. We were doing Hannity from within that rally site, and we'll tell you more about that as the program unfolds. Thank you all for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 9, Hannity from Vegas. And when we come back, we'll hit our phones hard, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, coming to you from Vegas. We'll be doing Hannity tonight. The president has a rally here on behalf of, Senator Heller's in a pretty tight race, but latest polls have him up, I think, by 3. It's important for the Republicans to keep the Senate. We're going to be on the campaign trail a lot this next 47 days, and we'll take you where we're going every step of the way. Back to our top story of the day, and that is, do we have a presumption of innocence anymore in this country? Well, if you listen to some of these Hollywood actors and actresses, the real political geniuses that they are, well, it doesn't matter. This is like guilt by accusation. No presumption of innocence, no due process at all. Here it is, 36 years later. An accusation is made by one woman, and we don't know if she's going to show up on Monday or not. We'll probably know by the end of the week, probably by tomorrow. I think the deadline is 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, or 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Professor Ford will make her decision. Anyway, MoveOn.org got and produced women from all walks of life making a video in the format made famous in the 2016 election when speakers had the same message. This one was directed for Dr. Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
We know how difficult it is to stand up to powerful people.
We want to thank you for publicly sharing your story of sexual violence.
As members of the Senate determine whether Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh
should serve as a Supreme Court Justice.
This context is critical.
The behavior you described was wrong.
Wrong, and runs directly counter to upholding the law
and promoting justice.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
We can also imagine how shocking and overwhelming it must have been
to have your truth shared on a national stage without your permission.
You should be the decision maker about how your story is shared,
if ever.
We applaud your courage in coming forward
for the public good.
And we will be with you as you face the inevitable backlash.
The inevitable backlash.
The inevitable backlash.
You are strong.
You are strong. Strong.
And you are not alone.
You are a survivor.
A survivor.
A survivor.
And millions of us have your back.
Then you've got, on top of it, a bigger story that is emerging. Law and Crime is a website that has really good information on it. And at least one defender of the president's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, believes it's not going to be long until the embattled judge is actually exonerated of wrongdoing and confirmed to his post. Now, this, by the way, is a former Scalia law clerk making that bombshell claim. Compelling evidence will soon exonerate Kavanaugh. We'll find out what that is, and we'll talk to Joe DeGenovic, Victoria Tunzing. But first, I want to play the insanity of media, Democrats, all politicizing, all rushing to judgment. Listen to this.
This woman is to be believed, and you can believe Dr. Ford. This was attempted rape.
I believe her.
Not only do women like Dr. Ford, who bravely comes forward, need to be heard, but they need to be believed.
You have no knowledge whether Brett Kavanaugh
did it. It doesn't matter. I believe Christine Ford because when you... To come forward, she has no, there's no enticements for her to come forward.
By the end of the week, if Judge Kavanaugh decides he doesn't want to go through this, it isn't worth it, he doesn't want to, maybe he can win, but he doesn't want an asterisk. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he chose to withdraw and chose to back down.
All right, joining us now is Joe DeGenova and Victoria Tunzing. They happen to be married, but they are two of the greatest attorneys in the country and friends of mine as well. Joe, it was great to see you in New York last night. You see what they're doing to this guy. No due process, no presumption of innocence. It's guilt by accusation. And I think people, you know, knowing the Democrats, what they do every 2 and 4 years in elections, Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, and on and on and on. And then every Supreme Court nominee gets borked or treated like Clarence Thomas. And now in the case, it's Judge Kavanaugh. It's the same playbook every time.
Yeah, nothing has changed. And I must say, it is amazing to me what this senator from Hawaii has said and done over the last 48 hours. This conduct by this United States senator has been an embarrassment to the institutions.
Oh, you mean that men should shut up and sit down?
Yes, and then her outrageous description as BS, although she didn't use BS, she used the actual words at a gaggle of reporters outside the Senate chamber, describing the way in which the Republican chairman was treating this so-called witness, a witness that no one has ever met, no one has ever seen, no one has ever confirmed her story, no one knows if it's true, no one knows if it happened, no one knows if it's a figment of her imagination from therapy, without denigrating her one bit. It is not unfair to say that nothing, absolutely nothing, that she is alleged to have written on a piece of paper, which no one has ever seen except Dianne Feinstein, no one has ever corroborated a word of something we have never seen. Just think of what we're saying. We've never seen the letter, and it's never been corroborated. This is insanity.
How is it at this late hour they've had it since July? Victoria, that they
have. I'm going to tell you what the procedure is, Sean, because I think your listeners would want to know. I've gone through these on the Hill when I was working for Senator Goldwater, and here's what they're supposed to do. When a sensitive piece of information, such as he beats his wife, or things like that, or is taking dope, even, you know, he sniffs cocaine, when something like that comes up in a confirmation investigation, then that's supposed to go in executive session. That's not supposed to be made public. Then the committee, either the chairman, however they want to work it out, decide how that's going to be investigated. They could use the FBI, but more than likely they'll use their own investigators, because the Democrats have their own investigators and the Republicans have theirs, and they're always former FBI guys, so it's like having the FBI anyway. Then when they come back with the raw data, they don't make any evaluations, these investigators. They get raw data, they interview people, they come back, and the committee decides, again, in executive session, whether the information is credible. If it's credible, they call in the nominee and they say, hey, I think you've got a problem, you may want to withdraw. Or if it's not credible, they go on with the nomination. They never have never smeared somebody in public. This is unprecedented.
Well, now that we're hearing that the woman wants to testify, which is what the original position was, and her lawyer had said that she would testify publicly under oath, but we have now heard from the New York Times, the woman who accused Judge Kavanaugh in an apparent bid, I guess, to jumpstart negotiations, has told the Senate Judiciary Committee that she would be prepared to testify next week so long as the senators offer terms that are fair and which ensure her safety.
Which means no cross-examination.
Well, I don't think that's going to be possible. That's not how the system works. And look, I think that I do give credit to Senator Grassley and his team. I think they have rightly bent over backwards to be accommodating to what could be a very sensitive situation for anybody to handle. They've offered that she could testify in private, in public, that they would even go to her wherever she happens to be. And they have, you know, now the bar keeps being raised. I need an FBI investigation first. The FBI doesn't conduct investigations. It's not a federal issue that they're dealing with here or a federal crime they're dealing with here.
The statute of limitations has long passed in any event, but the FBI does not do investigations in confirmation hearings, as we think of investigations. They collect raw data, and it is a legislative function, so it's up to the committee to decide and to evaluate the information the FBI brings back.
You know, when I look at how this has all been handled, and I think Susan Collins had this right, and I don't often agree with her, Joe, but... Yep. They had this since July, and then they're saying, no, we've got to hold it back. Why didn't they do anything in July? Why did Dianne Feinstein meet privately with Judge Kavanaugh on numerous occasions and not bring this up? Why didn't she bring it up in the public hearings?
Well, one of the things that comes out of this is a rather fitting end to the career of Dianne Feinstein. Whether she's reelected or not, it won't matter. Her influence in the Senate has been diminished exponentially by the politically corrupt manner in which she has conducted herself in this. She has insulted the chairman, Charles Grassley, who is one of the nicest people you would ever want to meet in your life, an unbelievably good senator, one of the hardest working senators. She has treated him shabbily. She has disrespected the rules and the procedures of the committee. She has lied, in essence, by omission, to all the members of the committee, and she has refused to turn over a copy of the letter to Chairman Grassley. I must say, she and the senator from Hawaii should be censured for what they have done. I really believe that the United States Senate should not tolerate this type of behavior by senators.
One of the other ways that we know this is political is right now we have a high-ranking DNC official, number two guy at the DNC, Keith Ellison, who wants to be the Attorney General of Minnesota. He's involved in a case where his girlfriend, and they claim they have tapes and audios, and she released the doctor's report from 2017 that is consistent with her story. But right now, this woman, all these people going after Judge Kavanaugh, that from 36 years ago, you don't hear a peep out of them as it relates to emotional and physical abuse of Keith Ellison, the allegation made by the girlfriend. I mean, you know, Kristen Gillibrand out there saying, I think what Republicans are doing is outrageous. They're creating a false choice. They're trying to bully her into testifying. They're not bullying anybody. They're trying to accommodate her in every way imaginable. But you hear all these, I believe her. And I'm thinking, wow. I don't think Dianne Feinstein had a moment of clarity and says, I don't know if this is true or not. I don't have all the information. I wasn't there. And then
so
with
Keith
the case.
Ellison,
yeah.
Sorry.
No,
so
go ahead.
Keith Ellison's girlfriend is going to have to get in line because it's a long double standard line behind Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones. There's a whole bunch of women out there that if you're a Democratic male, none of these rules apply to you. And I fear all of you mothers out there, fear for your sons if they're not Democrats because this can happen to them.
Well, I mean,
by the way, isn't it funny that they're having second thoughts about having demanded that Al Franken resign? All of these women's groups are saying, well, you know, maybe we went overboard. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. This is fascinating. Sean, you are absolutely right. It's not a double standard. It's a triple standard, a quadruple standard. They are shameless. They are unembarrassed by their intellectual dishonesty. They care about one thing, power and keeping Kavanaugh off the court. The Republicans better get him on the court, and they better get him on the court fast.
Well, I mean, they'll have an opportunity. Assuming this woman comes in next week, they could have the vote right thereafter. I'd also argue that in the subsequent 36 years that you could talk to other women, 65 of them that knew him at that time, and paint a very different picture of this man. You can talk to his high school colleagues or kids he went to school with and fellow students in college and in law school and in the Bush administration and women that have clerked for him over the years. Everybody could do that, but I don't see any outrage from these very same people. But you have Keith Ellison is being accused of domestic, physical, and emotional violence against his old girlfriend, who actually tweeted that the Democratic Party, quote, didn't believe her claims, despite what is out there, including a doctor's report that she had told this doctor about the abuse in 2017. She's not believed. She's not even discussed. Nobody is saying anything against him.
And look at the little standard of the accusation here. She doesn't know when it occurred. She doesn't know where it occurred. She didn't tell anybody else at the time. And the only two witnesses that she has said could verify it have both said it didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, do we have a presumption of innocence or not in this country? And why
not
is it important?
Not for Republicans.
That's sad. But I think you're both right. Joe DiGenova and Victoria Tunsing, thank you both for being with us. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. We're doing the show live from Vegas tonight. Hannity on the road will be at the rally. We're live 6 to 7. The president will be on stage at 7 o'clock. We have an interview set up with the president. We'll tell you more about that.